Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we're glad you are. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the road. We are at gorgeous, beautiful Pete Taylor Park, overlooking the ball field from the press box as the Fall World Series continues here at the Pete. Coach Christian Ostrander going to join us here momentarily. Also got a couple of ball players later in the show to bring your way, but. Coach, first of all, thanks so much for coming up here and speaking with us.
Absolutely, yeah. Didn't have to go very far today.
You know, you look out here from the press box out across your ball field, and there just really isn't a much prettier complex anywhere, is there?
No, it's beautiful. It really is. It's majestic.
Do you ever just kind of soak it in, or have you just become accustomed to it now?
No, I really do. I try to. You know, I think, you know, just be appreciative of what you get to do and just kind of a constant reminder. I'll come out here and do my cardio in the morning or walk in and just kind of soak it up and just let it be a reminder of the responsibility that we have.
All right, Fall World Series, I guess you got another game tonight?
We do. This would be game three tonight.
This could be the decider if Gold wins tonight, right?
It could be over tonight. And if the Gold team keeps playing the way they have and the Black team keeps playing the way they have, it will be over. So we'll see what happens.
Let the Black team be on notice, right?
No doubt.
Hey, and I know the quote-unquote Major League World Series going on right now, and this is just a point I wanted to ask you about, Coach Oz. You see the influence of Japanese players now with Ohtani, and but a lot of the Dodgers have that Japanese influence. We don't seem to see the Latin and Japanese influence yet in the college game. Do you think we'll ever see that?
I wouldn't be surprised if you could see more, but a lot of that has to do with the cost, you know, of things and stuff. So you see a lot of Latin or Chinese or Japanese or whatever players coming over here. I think, you know, it's in the professional ranks because of money. And I think it's hard to get as many in school sometimes because of changing currencies and stuff like that. It's what, it's different. Anytime you try to recruit an international player, there's the dollar don't match always. So it's a little bit tougher.
Strategically, the Blue Jays taking a bath because they walked Ohtani just about every time, if not every time, last night. What do you think strategically of moves like that? I wouldn't let him beat me either.
Well, it's kind of back to the Barry Bonds thing, you know, from years ago. And no, if you can afford to do it, then you need to do it because, I mean, goodness, he's a freak of nature. And he's, you know, one swing can change a game.
Yeah, we saw that one time at a CUSA tournament. We just happened to be sitting with a pitching coach from Florida Atlantic, and the Golden Eagles were playing Rice. And it was the bottom of the ninth, and there's a guy on base, and maybe the game is tied. I can't remember exact, but Matt Wallner comes up, and first base is open, and the pitching coach looks at me, and he goes, well, they're going to walk him. Then he goes, I can't believe it. I think this is a mistake. And about that time, he launched one into the Beau Rivage Casino across the street.
I remember that was 2018.
Yeah, you remember that day.
I do remember that game.
All right, let's talk about your team, Coach. You're getting near the end of a fall ball here. I guess it'd be over tonight if Gold Team won. What have you learned about this squad? What makes you happy? Maybe what concerns you a bit?
Well, the thing that sticks out the most right now for me that excites me and sometimes is one of the hardest things to have or to achieve with a group of young men is their chemistry, is their togetherness, you know, their unity. It's really strong. There's some really good leadership. We got a lot of guys back that have experience, that have those leadership qualities. So that's very exciting to me. That's the ingredient that is, you know, just as powerful as, you know, how good you are on the mound or how good you are at the plate, in my opinion. But, yeah, we like the pieces. I really do. Trust your eyes. Offensively, I feel like we'll have a chance to put a lineup out there that's going to be long again. And what I mean by that is there's going to be a lot of experience. You can't just breeze through it. You're going to have to execute to get through it. I think it's a lineup that will have a chance to slug again. I can't sit here and predict 100-plus home runs, but the capability sure could be there. I don't know if we have as much athleticism as we did last year when you lose Cook and Monastir, you know, but I do think we have some guys that have that capability. Whether or not they'll be in that lineup, you know, to start a game or whatnot, we'll see. From the pitching side of it, very optimistic, cautiously optimistic. I feel like we are in a good spot from a starting position standpoint. I feel like that's I hate to say easy, but it shouldn't be as difficult to figure out that because there's options. The big question mark for me is who's going to step up and be the back end guys. You know, who's going to be the guys that we got the guys here that have the stuff. There's no doubt about it. But it's a lot more than that. It's the mentality and the ability to be consistent and handle those fires. So that's something that we'll learn as we go. It's hard to replicate any of that in the fall, you know, to what that truly feels like until the spring gets here. But I have my thoughts. I have my ideas. And, you know, so I think the pieces are there. We just got to figure out where to put them.
I know that a few years ago there was some interplay in fall baseball between universities. Does that still exist, Coach?
Absolutely, yeah. We did it the first year. It was the fall of 19. It was the first year that, you know, the NCAA allowed us to do that. Opted not – and then, you know, then COVID hit. You know, so that year wasn't a thing. Then we picked back up in 21 or the fall of 20. I think that's right. Yes, the fall of 20. And we chose not to, you know, and I think might have been my fault. But, you know, Coach Bear, you know, talking with him, it was really when you had those two dates stuck in there, usually on a weekend, it really disrupted your ability to get as much work with your pitchers in that 6-week period because it just messed up the whole flow of everything. And I felt like I didn't get enough innings, you know, or maybe we didn't get enough at-bats for our hitters. And so we opted not to do it. And had some success since then, so, you know, we haven't gone back. It's, you know, I never say never. I had a great phone call yesterday from the group in Pensacola that wants us to come down next fall to do a game and might do it. You know, we might end up adding one in there in the fall and exhibition, so we'll see.
And I know that Tulane was supposed to play Pearl River last weekend, but the weather being what it was, they decided to cancel it. So it is still taking place. Mm-hmm. Coach, how would you anticipate the depth of the upcoming team compared to last year's overall?
I think position player wise, it's the same numbers. You know, we got 16 position players. We had 16 last year. Last year, the depth of the position players, were a little older. Some of the guys that might have been not in the starting lineup that were on the bench probably had a little bit more age and experience. I think this year, I could see that depth and some of those guys waiting their turn or what could be a little bit younger. You know, so I think they're very similar in those terms. I think there's a lot of similarities from the 16 position players group we had last year and this year. I'm not talking about necessarily just personnel or individuals, just the way it's composed and stuff. And but except for the age part, last year we were a little bit older on the bench. This year we'll be a little bit younger.
I had one of your colleagues make an interesting point one time that said that you have to be careful on depth to where with the transfer portal now, if you're too deep, if guys aren't getting enough reps, then you jeopardize, you know, maybe losing some of those players, which again is something you have to deal with now that you didn't have to deal with before. Can you be too deep?
I certainly think you can. You know, I got a little concerned with that with my pitching staff. It has a depth feel to it, kind of like I felt in 22, that has knowing that there'll be some very capable arms that might not get as many reps because – others might be ahead of them and doing well, which is something to celebrate, right? It means you're right. probably doing well, doing good as a team. But so I think you can be positionally. You definitely can be too deep. I would like us to have a one or two more. I think 18 is a really fair number that we'll look ahead towards. To handle, to have more competitive inter squads where you can bat a nine on nine, stuff like that, and overcome. Now, if you stay healthy with 16, that's plenty. You never know if some injuries hit and things of that nature. But from the pitching side of it, depth is by design. This team is deep.
I want to get your reaction about Coach Vitello going to the major leagues, and what do you think might have been behind that, or do you think this will be a trend that has now started that there might be some others that will make that move?
Well, I think it's a no. I know it was a hard decision for him just because of what he's done at Tennessee and built, and they've done so well, but it's almost like a no brainer. This is unprecedented. Yeah, this hadn't happened before, and I think he's probably the best guy I could think of to go and make that jump. So I wish him the best. I hope it works out for him.
We're talking to Coach Christian Ostrander. We're at beautiful Pete Taylor Park. The World Series is underway.
Halloween a few days away.
Oh, my goodness. We've got crows right up here in front.
Ravens, Bob, at Halloween.
Ravens. Yes. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. More Eagle Hour from Pete Taylor Park.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road at Pete Taylor Park. We're visiting with our good friend Christian Ostrander. And still to come, the Bulls coming up here, Matthew Russo and Colby Allen going to be joining us a little later. Because we were talking to you during the break about the depth of your program. And Kelly brought up Davis Gillespie, and I told you I was going to ask you this. That to me is a great example. That kid about the strength of this program. Now, that's a really talented baseball player that I'm sure a lot of programs would love to have. He basically got beat out last year in the last quarter of the year, I guess, around a quarter of the year, and it worried me a little bit because I'm thinking, man, you don't want to lose a kid like Davis Gillespie, but you didn't, and you've never lost but one in the midst of all this chaos. What do you attribute that to?
Culture. That's 100% it. And, it's just a strong, strong culture here that these guys that come here, like Davis, are all of them. We've had so many guys, in the last several years that could have gotten in that market and made a lot of money. And they knew that and stuff, but they love it here. This is the program that believed in them, gave them the opportunity, allowed them to play early, allow them to develop. We have the greatest fan base, in college baseball. They feel that. They're appreciative of it. And so this is their home. And, we have to do our job. We got to treat them right. And we do. And they, Coach Barry did. And those before, you got to do that. But all the pieces are here for that to happen. And I don't take that for granted. We don't say that casually. You got to work at it and stuff. But there's so many pieces of that puzzle that allow that to happen. And Davis, in our exit meeting last year, there was frustration. Sure, he wanted to play, but I remember his words exactly. He said, I'm going to come back and I'll be better than ever. And he's stayed here this summer, worked out, looks great, and he'll be ready to go.
How's
out
he doing in the fall?
Having a great fall. He's having a great fall. And like I said, it was, He didn't necessarily do anything wrong last year. It's just depth wins. So, you know, somebody you had to make a lineup, and you hit a streak, and you stayed with it.
Well, the kid that came in to play left field looked like a magician out there climbing the wall and hitting the ball. I mean, you didn't have a choice. You couldn't take him off the field.
No, we had some options. You know, we had some interchangeable parts last year for sure.
You said that about the fan base. Kelly will get a kick out of this. I got to tell you something, Coach. I guess this is my fault. I haven't been able to go to a football game this year that I haven't had two or three people that I don't know from Adam will walk up to me and go, Bob Getty, how many more days till baseball? And my answer is always one day closer. But they're already waiting for the baseball season to start.
Well, that's awesome. That's what makes this place so special. This community, you know, Hattiesburg, our fan base, they love that time of year. They love coming to the Pete. It's a destination. It's an event to go to. And, you know, we got to do our part, put a good product out there. You know, like Coach Barry always said, you know, we're performers. And you got to go out there and perform and give them a reason to come back. And that's our job.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot. And I know this is kind of a funny question. But last year when Mississippi State fired their coach, I was actually talking to your associate coach Travis Creel. I'll never forgive him for this. I think you were in the studio, and I said, Travis, it's
what you got.
I said, Travis, Oz is not considering going to Mississippi State, is
they
it?
Were on the bus, weren't they?
Yeah, he goes, well, I don't know, he's sitting right here with me, let's ask him. I don't know if you remember
I
that,
do remember
but
that.
I think fans do not worry, but I don't think anybody wants to ever see you leave. Can you express to fans how happy or satisfied you are where you are right now?
Well, I don't ever want to leave either. You know, I mean, this is – I am. I you know, you never say never with anything. I understand that in life. But this is a good fit for me, and I knew it years ago when I was, you know, in the office next to Coach and watching him do it and what this meant and what it looked like and how it needed to be done. And this is a dream job for me. And, you know, and to get the opportunity, I mean, you look at my route, you look at the way I kind of got here. There's not a whole lot of them like that. And I'm proud of that. You know, and just kind of just kept your head down and worked hard and, you know, and things came. So I'm just very appreciative for the opportunity. And I believe in loyalty. I believe in that. I believe in, you know, dancing with the one that brought you, you know, and stuff. So to me, this is a great place. I mean, I'm the luckiest guy in the world for what I get to do to come to work here every day and at a top 25 program and with a great fan base and great administration, great staff, great players. So, I mean, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Did you tell me one time last year that you found an old phone of yours and you charged it up and discovered that the password was something referencing Southern Miss Baseball?
It sure was. I was my wife found that. It was an old, I don't even know what kind of phone it was, when I was at Gulfport High School. She kind of figured it back to that time frame, and it was one of the security questions and said, what's your dream job? And it was Southern Miss. And,
wow.
You know, and I'll never forget when she showed it to me. You know, it was kind of emotional for that because you're right in it then. It's like, you know, wow. So, you know,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Coach, I want to ask you about the craft of pitching. Back in the late 60s and 70s, it seemed like the major league pitchers, they had a fastball, a curveball, and a change. Now, as you fast forward 50 years, I mean, fastballs, curveball, change up, slurves, sliders, knuckles.
Sweepers.
Cut fastballs, all those sorts of things. And, of course, pitching has always been your passion. Where do you see, and now you're talking about spin rates and all these other things, where do you see the science of pitching maybe in another 20 years? Where's it going?
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot left for it to get to go to.
I wouldn't think so either. Man, is it scientific.
It is, and we have figured out ways to throw harder. There's teachable ways that there used to not be. So, but the body's, you know, the composition of our joints and our muscles and our ligaments and our tendons are the same as they always been. And, you know, there's a threshold. And that's why I think you see so many injuries from the professional ranks and down, because we are really getting to the limits of what, you know, some arms can do and maintain integrity, you know, with those ligaments and tendons and stuff like that. So I don't know. That's a great question. You know, 20 years ago, I never would have dreamed of some of the things we're doing now.
Right.
And, you know, so who knows? And you just got to be able to kind of roll with it and adapt as you go.
I think a lot of people really, the academia part of our society doesn't really understand how much academia is involved in being good in athletics, whatever it is. And pitching is a perfect example, all the science that is involved with, you know, from physiology and all that.
Why do so many kids throw so much harder now than they did, it seems like, just 8 or 10 years ago?
Well, you can teach velocity. You can, and it's also, there's a mental, there's a, you know, kind of the banister effect of where you do something once, you can do it again, or you can, you know, the mind's a powerful thing. And because I had a coach tell me this, you know, 30 years ago, if you want to throw harder, try to throw harder. There's a lot of truth to that. But, you know, I think there's a lot of the way we train, you know, the things, the advancement of, you know, things in physical training and our weight room, what Coach Mack does and the correlation of it, and just, and then the science of it, like Kelly was saying, and being able to put yourself in the right degree of launch and things of that nature that used to not be a thing. It was, you know, just go out there and, you know, try to get strong as you can, hit the ball as hard as you can, throw the ball as hard as you can.
And there'd be a lot of those pitchers in the late 60s that go out there that were no less than 275 or 280 pounds.
Yeah. I remember there was a Mexican guy that played for the Dodgers. That was a pitcher.
Fernando Valenzuela.
He was a big, heavy dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mickey Lolich with the Tigers back in the 60s. And suffice it to say, nutrition and athletic training has come a long way.
You mentioned your strength coach. We don't talk about him much, but he's kind of a secret sauce around here, isn't he?
100%. Y'all need to get him on the show. He deserves praise and for people to hear him, because he's really good at what he does. He is really, really good at what he does. And you know, we've been together now, 6 years? And it didn't, you know, when we started off, I thought, oh man, this guy's going to kill us. And you know, but I'm all in. I'm all into what he does, and he does a great job.
I got to tell you, though, he lives in my neighborhood. He's not real popular at Halloween because he hands out weight training for 8-year-olds. it's a piece of paper, you know, how 8-year-olds should train. I don't think it's a real popular treat, you know, nonetheless.
Has that always been an important part of collegiate baseball, is your strength and conditioning program?
I think it's changed a lot. I think the emphasis over the last 10 years or maybe a little less, you can see the importance of it. And then just to see it's always been there, but I'm like, you know, 30 years ago when I was playing college, we didn't lift weights like this.
Right.
You know, we jumped over cones and did, you know, whatever, CrossFit type stuff more than anything. And now it's a lift heavy weight environment and move a lot of weight and explosive. So I think here the last 10 years, I think you've seen a big shift.
And you have to trust your strength coach, don't you, to turn your players over to him doing that?
100%.
How many times, Bob, have you and I run into baseball players and mistake them for football
players?
They're
the biggest football players.
They are.
They're bigger than some of the football players we've had in recent years. Coach, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Always
appreciate
a great
you guys.
Pleasure being with
thank
you.
Thank you all for having
Coach
me.
Christian Ostrander, the great Kobe Allen is sitting right down there. He's going to come talk to us next. Super Talk Eagle Hour is at Pete Taylor Park, getting ready for the third game of the Fall World Series tonight. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Well, Kelly, as much as I hated to have to do it, we're at Pete Taylor Park today.
Oh, I know. You just can't stand baseball.
I want to thank our good buddy Jack Duggan for setting this up. He's actually over there working. He's never not working. He works 7 days a week. And he brought us, I think these two young men are going to be the face of the baseball program this year, Kobe Allen, Matthew Russo. I said that to you guys during the break. You both, I think, sort of expected this. Start with you, Kobe, and then you, Matthew. You both embrace this idea of being the leaders of the team, right?
Right. I mean, we were both in those shoes of some of the younger guys and new guys now. We both have pretty interesting stories of how we kind of struggled when we first got here, and then now that we've had a lot of success for a couple of years now. I think we got a pretty good pathway to how to show these guys how to kind of do it when we're not here in the next couple of years, you know.
And you, Matthew, how do you embrace that role in addition to your own field performance?
Yeah, I'd say you learn from the guys, like you were saying. You learn from the guys like Danny Lynch, Dickerson, Tanner Hall. You have those guys, Justin Storm, that you just take the little things from, see how they lead the guys as a younger guy. And us being the older guys, the captains, the leaders, you just kind of try to give the younger guys bits and pieces of what you do on a daily basis, whether that be with words or actions. So
now it's ironic that Jack picked you two guys. I've made no secret about it. I'm a big fan of Kobe Allen, and my man here, Kelly, has told me since the start of last year, Matthew, you're his man. You're his golden eagle, Kelly Sander. Tell him.
Well, because we're both eight-cylinder models. Okay, we're full-figured guys, and of course, I was asking Matthew before we went on the air. You know, do the guys kind of rib you about being a bigger dude? But and you said yeah, but you just take it all in stride. But you, man, your story is so cool because you did everything but like clean toilets at this place. Yeah. And here, and I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a great story to bring up.
Yeah, that you kind of fill in some blanks there, Matthew. A lesser man would have said, "To hell with this. This isn't for me." But you did everything but clean toilets and worked your way up, and now you're going to get. You're in the middle of receiving the benefits of your hard work, and man, I salute you in a world that is so quick to cut bait and say, "I'm just going somewhere else, and I'm not going to deal with this anymore." But you didn't, and that's part of the reason why I really, really love you as an athlete, too. Tell us about
Yeah, I appreciate that. So my freshman year I came here, and I just wasn't ready to play. My swing wasn't there. My body wasn't there. But I loved the guys. I loved the leaders that we had on the team. And I guess it was probably early February of my freshman year, Coach Oz took me into his office and asked if I wanted to be the bullpen catcher for the team. Because just some stuff happened with the bullpen catcher we had at the time. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I get to go travel with the guys. I knew I was redshirting by that point. I wasn't able to do anything but just stay here. So that opportunity came up, and I just took it. And honestly, I think it helped me. I got to go on the road with that team, that 22 team, with that awesome staff. I actually caught probably the best staff in Southern Miss history. And, you got guys. You had, like, Danny Lynch over there who just taught me the little things and how to lead and stuff like that. And, that brought kind of just made me a better player, made me appreciate the game more, made me appreciate Southern Miss more because I got to experience that regional that we hosted LSU, hosted the Super Regional that year, and I got to see what Southern Miss is all about while being the bullpen catcher. So, yeah, and it just made me appreciate it, and I love it so much. I just wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
But it didn't ever cross your mind that, hey, this, as much as I want this, it's just not going to happen?
Honestly, no.
Good for you.
I had Coach Brewer and Coach Creel at the time. I had an ankle weight on my foot trying to fix my swing. Like, they put a lot of effort into me. And me and Coach Oz have a great relationship, and he's just taught me so much and challenged my brain, challenged my mind, as he does with everyone else on the team. And once I've made some physical adjustments, the mental adjustments came through, and now I'm here today. So I just had to make a lot of adjustments.
So is it fair to say relationships more than anything else has kept you here?
100%. I mean, quite honestly, and there's never been a reason for me to leave. I mean, the relationships have been so special. Just I have my family out there in right field. They have relationships with so many people out there. I have a relationship with so many fans. I mean, he and I were able to go. We were in the homecoming parade just because of relationships we have with Southern Miss people. They love Colby and I so much. We love them so much, and there's never been an ounce of my body wanting to leave.
And Bob, from what I hear, though, his family being out in right field, they can get on the umpires, and nobody even knows because nobody understands what they're saying.
Correct. Yeah. Being from Louisiana. And then there's Colby Allen, who in high school really didn't pitch much. You were more of a catcher, as you've told me. And now here you're coming up on the season, and I think it's fair to say, I don't mean to put you on the spot, you're going to be the donkey of the pitching staff. Could you have ever envisioned that when you were in high school?
Yeah, it was kind of a whirlwind when I first got here, and had never really pitched much. And then now I had a good sophomore year, and then I could really start to see it then. But, yeah, I mean, it's just been an awesome experience to watch it kind of unfold and how I've grown so much from being here and learning from Oz, and then also learning from a lot of the older guys, kind of like Russo was saying, with the storms. And I learned a lot from Will Armstead. You know, he doesn't really talk a whole lot, but his mind and the pitching side of things was pretty unique. And it's kind of this, that's kind of what you have to do as a younger guy is quiz the older guys on how they kind of do things, because every one of them is different. And then you kind of piece it together and find yourself through those guys.
Now, I know you both love playing, but it's so funny to watch you, because Colby, you're pretty damn intense when you're out there. You look like you could bite a nail. And Matthew, you don't ever quit smiling. I mean, I know you're intense, but I mean, it's quite a diversity of exterior imaging, I guess.
Yeah. So to talk about Colby, one of the things that Danny taught me is that when he's at third, I don't know if y'all probably did hear Danny at third, but he wouldn't stop talking to the pitchers.
Talking.
So yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I kind of took that from him. And then there's certain things that you have to say to different pitchers. So there's some pitchers on the team where you just got to cheer them on, whatever. And then when Colby gets on the mound, I'm letting him know, hey, lock in. Like, he's very intense up there. I can't, like, cheer him on. I'm just trying to lock him in, staying locked in.
So, he looks pretty locked.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's locked. But for myself, I just try to have as much fun as I can. I know that this game's not going to last forever, and I've been told that a lot. And then, like, the older guys, when I was a young guy, saying that it flies by, I'm just trying to take in every single day. So just appreciating being out there with all the fans and everything, all my teammates, is quite special.
When it comes to pitching, I don't think people realize the mental exhaustion that takes place, the physical exhaustion on the body and on the arm. And all. So they only pitch in the majors, you know, once every 5 days, so on and so forth. But the mental exhaustion because of the homework you have to do on each of the hitters, your ability to have to kind of change on the fly. Talk a little bit about that, about how much homework that you have to remember on all of these hitters.
It's a big learning aspect. Thankfully, Coach Oz and Coach Leje do all the scouting for us when it comes to the certain hitters. But, yeah, but we have a whole other mental aspect as soon as we get on that mound and see maybe a fastball is called at a certain spot, slider. Okay, if we get them 0-2, we can't really miss up, or you're supposed to miss up. You know, it's pretty tough, and then you have to do it on back-to-back days and trying to stay as sharp as you can. Because in this level of baseball, I mean, you make one mistake, and it's a home run. I mean, that's just the fact of it. If I get Russo 0-2 and I throw him a heater that's supposed to be up and I throw it down the middle, it's going to be a home run, you know. That's really the biggest thing is trying to stay mentally locked in. I think that's kind of why I try to be so serious up there, is because if I let one little thing kind of switch my mind, then bam, something bad's going to happen. I'm going to mess up, and then it's going to affect everybody. You know?
It's kind of like movie actors will say all the time, once they get into character, they're not coming out of character until the end of the day because
it can mess up pretty quick. It can snowball out there pretty fast if you let one little thing mess with your mind.
But you are having fun, right?
When you're fun. Don't get me wrong. It's awesome being out there. But no, when you step across that line as a pitcher, especially, it should be a different game for you.
Well, with you guys, the look out there, it's real quiet right now. This place is so gorgeous, but it gets pretty raucous in here at night. What start with you, Matthew? What's it like to play in front of this crowd when they're all juiced up and fired up and
I thought you meant
loud.
I thought you meant
no,
drunk.
No.
It's quite special. I mean, I saw it from doing charts my true freshman year in the dugout to playing on the field every day. I mean, it's special. There's so many different types of people. You have fans that are cheering on, standing up and everything. And you have the elderly folks who really just appreciate the game and appreciate the players out there. So, I mean, when you get the whole mix of all what the Pete has to offer to you, I mean, it's really special. So, and then like when we get the big games, when we're hosting regionals and stuff like that, I mean, there's no other place like it. It's so awesome.
Does it help you play at another level, Colby?
Absolutely. It's like a whole other energy boost when you walk out of that dugout and you see 5,000 people here all screaming, and especially when they're screaming at the other team walking in. It's an energy boost. I can tell you that. We all play better from people being in the stands.
I'm glad Matthew looked at you when he said about the elderly.
Oh, my goodness.
Instead
of me.
Thanks, Matthew.
Hey, Colby, toughest guy you ever faced and why?
It's the Taylor guy from Indiana, facing
really?
The Tennessee Regional. He's a lefty. I don't know if he might have got drafted
already.
He did, but
really.
I mean, he stood like a foot from the plate, and he could still reach the right-hander's batter's box. It was pretty unreal.
Wow.
Colby Allen, Matthew Russo, you guys are the best, man. We can't wait.
Yes,
we
sir.
Can't
Thank
wait.
You. Appreciate y'all having
we'll
us.
We'll be right back. More from Pete Taylor Park after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour at Pete Taylor Park this afternoon as we get ready for Game 3 of the Fall World Series. Jack Duggan set all this up for us. Of course, he's the Sports Information Director at Southern Miss. We asked Jack to... He brought those two kids up here that we just interviewed. I asked Jack to sit in here with us for a minute. First of all, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Love to have you guys out here at Pete Taylor Park. I think we all know what a special place this facility is, anytime you get a chance to come out here, it certainly makes your day a little bit better.
It's just a peaceful place to be.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful. It's a wonderful place, and it's one of my favorite places in the world.
I totally concur with you about that. Jack, I know you stayed busy all year, and we'll get away from baseball for just a minute, but what a breath of fresh air has football been. And we were talking about it all week. I just don't think you could have asked for a better job than what Charles Huff has done.
No, he's been fantastic. I mean, just look at the product he's put out there. It's the offense is high octane, you know, led by Braylon Braxton, who, you know, will only play one year with us, but that 1 year has been really special, and he's just going to continue, I think, to get better.
Right.
And he's been a lot of fun. And then on defense, I mean, we've given up some yards, but man, that the our ability to get the takeaways, especially the interceptions, has just been phenomenal this year. We've had. What, 8 or 9 different guys get interceptions mm-hmm. this year? So it's fun to see. I think we've got about 15 different guys that have scored touchdowns for us this year, probably my 13th best in school history. You know, and you got to, you know, with 4-5 games at least left, you got to figure that's gonna increase as we move along. As we get towards this last month of the regular season.
Jack, and I noticed, I don't know if this is your department, but I noticed some unit from the university put out ticket orders already for bowl games.
Yes, yes.
So, can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's just, you know, you're taking advantage of that opportunity. We're certainly excited about our opportunity to be bowl eligible first time since 2022. Second, quickest we've ever done or gotten to this point since 2000, and we did it in 7 games in 2000, and then again in 2011 when that team went 12-2. But we want our fans to be excited. We want them to travel with us wherever we go. Come December during the bowl season.
And the importance of buying the tickets through the university. It seems to me that there is a benefit to the school by buying tickets through the university. So
yeah, I mean it is, and you know you get to sit with other Southern Miss fans,
right?
And that goes towards our ticket total that we have, you know, to sell for each event that we may go to. So, and that's certainly when you buy from the university, it certainly helps us in the long run as we go moving forward.
And if I'm not mistaken, women's basketball is either on the cusp of setting a season ticket record or they're pretty darn
close. Some excitement for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, all I've heard is just. It's just sky-high reviews of Missy Bilderbach. And, you know, I'm really excited about watching that program play this winter. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you get a chance to come out, not only support her, so Jay Ladner and his crew, they got a big win on the road, exhibition right. win last night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a fun time of year, too. I think it's sometimes gets lost a little bit in the mix. But if I tell you, basketball around here, when we get it going, it can be incredibly, incredibly fun in Reed Green Coliseum. And it can get, as you know, as you remember, it can get loud in there.
It can get really loud.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell you, I was – you know, when I was a student here back in the late 80s and we had that such a great run, I just tell you, that was the ticket to have in Hattiesburg.
No question.
And love to see, you know, that return.
No
and
question.
It should be, you know, we look forward to having a great basketball season this winter.
A couple of minutes left, and one of the things, you're a really good writer. I want you to envision how this story will be written by the national media, because this is a possibility. Charles Huff wins the conference championship at Marshall. He leaves, stays in the league, takes over the 1-11 team, wins the conference championship with the 1-11 team. Is that not the story of the year in sports?
I would think that it would have to be up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's phenomenal to think about. You know, you have to meld. Now, granted, he brought 21 players from Marshall with him. But you still have to meld 90 new players together, and you know, there's some guys that were back from that 1-11 team, and you know, the guy that jumps out at you right away is Chris Jones.
No question.
And Chris Jones has been phenomenal. We had him in the football press conference today, and he just keeps impressing me every time that I see him.
He's just a stud.
He really is, and he's one of those guys. Him. Mike Montgomery, in the middle of that defense, they just want to get better. They just want to get better. Mm-hmm. Coach Huff, I think, told a story about Mike. He was in his office on a Saturday afternoon, the last open date, or maybe it was after a Thursday night game, and he heard this noise. He didn't know what it was, and he looked out, and there's Mike Montgomery, who grabbed a sled, one of the hitting sleds, and he's out there in the middle of the field just going at it by himself.
By himself.
Yep.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Jack.
My pleasure, Bob.
Don't make him mad.
Athletics Director Jeremy McClain on the show tomorrow. Thanks to this gentleman. We appreciate that very much.
It's my pleasure. Glad to have y'all here today.
All right. It's always a pleasure to be here. That wraps up the Eagle Hour from beautiful, gorgeous Pete Taylor Park.
Are you going to go through withdrawals, Bob?
No, I may hang around a while.
Okay.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.